All right, we're in Daniel chapter 9. Last week I said that we're probably these last few verses of chapter 9, beginning with verse 24 to the end of the chapter, verse 27, are probably the most significant verses in the Bible. Because what it does for us, it sets forth a course of history from God's standpoint and from man's standpoint of how the times of the Gentiles will end and introduce us to the Messiah who comes back for us or back for Israel to deliver them. We went through it very quickly last week, and someone asked me if I would repeat a little bit to make sure that we have it, and I will try to do that. I know that we went through it very quickly last week, and I may have glossed over some things, or I may have said some things that I didn't make clear to you. So what we're looking at is Daniel's 70th week, and let's begin by reading. If you turn to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, I want to read these last few verses for you and set them in their context. You remember Gabriel has come to Daniel. Daniel has had a vision. We don't know what that vision is, but Daniel has had a vision, and he's come to explain that vision to Daniel so that he understands. And Gabriel was sent in verse 25 to give Daniel understanding of the matter and consider the vision. Now verse 24, and 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Thy people are Daniel's people, that is Israel. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression and to make the end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the visions and the prophecies and to anoint the most holy. Now there are six things there that are going to be accomplished in those 70 weeks. We'll look at that. I want you to go back and I want to calculate these again for you so that you're sure you understand it. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. Now those 70 weeks, it's important that we divide it properly. There's 7 weeks, and then there are 62 weeks, and then there's 1 week. And those are divided on purpose. And we'll see that as we go through it. I'll go through it again with you very quickly this morning. Shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, and the street shall be rebuilt, and the wall even in troublous times. Now, we noticed that did happen in troublous times. We looked at Nehemiah. Nehemiah gave testimony to that there were difficult times when they're rebuilding the walls in Jerusalem. That was accomplished in 7 weeks. Now, 7 weeks of 49 years. Now, there's 62 more weeks left. There's more than that, but there's the next 62 weeks. And after 62 weeks, that is 62 weeks, shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be a flood, and the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now there's your last week. That's the 70th week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So there we have it. Now, we want to go back very quickly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but the beginning of the first period of time, the 7 weeks, began with Artaxerxes' decree on March the 14th, 1445. We know that from Nehemiah chapter 2. So there are 70 weeks. They're divided into three periods, and you have to keep that in mind. That's very important. A Reformed theologian does not take this into account. He doesn't look at them like that. He just glosses over them. But they are divided, and they're specifically divided for a purpose. The 7 weeks, the 62 weeks, the 1 week, are 70 weeks. I divide them, multiply them out by seven, so you have those. Now, Sir Robert Anderson, an Englishman, wanted to be sure that that was accurate. And so he went back and did a study. And the study was to determine whether those at least the 69 weeks were accurate. And what he did, he used, first of all, from the scriptures, a year is 360 days. You and I, we do not live under the Jewish calendar. We live under the Gregorian calendar, which is 365 days in a year. So that seems that there might be some discrepancy, but let's look at it very quickly. If you take the 360 days in a year and you multiply it times 69 times 7, which is 7 years for each week, and then you'll come up with times 360, you come up with 173,880 days. So what he's saying is that from the decree until the Messiah is going to be 173,880 days. Now, if you transfer that over to the Gregorian calendar, which we use, there are 365 days in a year. And if you figure that out by time, if you take the 365 years, divide that in, or 365 days, divide it into 173,880, you come up with 476 years. That's by the Gregorian calendar. That is falls short. You see, we have come up with 173,740. That's 119 days short of the 173,880. You follow me on that? I want you to be sure you all follow this. This is his study. But what he figured then was that there are every fourth year there's an additional day. And in 476 years, what you come up with is 119 days. So he divided the 476 years, which is the total length, and realized that in those 476 years, there was a leap year every 4 years. And that added 119 days in those times. Divide 4 into 476. So now he come up with 173,883 days, which is 3 days longer than what you could use in the Jewish calendar. The Jewish calendar was 173,880. He came up with 173,883 days. So he went to the observatory in England, and he began to discuss this with some of the scholars there. And what they realized is that every 128th year, you gain 1 day. 120 long. Our calendar is 120. A solar year is 1/128th of a day longer than a calendar year. Now that's not very significant if you take that and look at it. There's just a few little periods in that. But when you have 476 years, and you realize that every 128 years you're going to gain 1 day, if you divide that, you get 3 days. There's 3 days you lost in that period of time. Are you with me? So if you subtract the 3 days off of the 173,883, you come up exactly what the Gabriel revealed to Daniel. It's 70 years. And I pointed out to you that the scriptures are accurate. They're very accurate. Now, in that period of time, in those periods, six things were to be accomplished in those years. And we looked at those earlier. We'll see a little bit in the 70 years, we see there's six things that have to be accomplished. I'm not going to go back over those right now, but we'll look at them. So now in verse 26, let's look at verse 26. That's where we sort of left off. And after 62 weeks. Now that's after the 173,880 days. After that, the Messiah would be cut off. Through the study, and I mentioned to you that a classmate of mine did a study of this too with you know, upgrading it and doing a few things, but come up with the same figure. Just the dates were a little bit different. What they arrived at is that in that period of time, that 173,880 days was the exact day that Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem and presented himself as the Messiah. That's the triumphal entry. All right, you with me? Now, after that, the Messiah was cut off. The Messiah being cut off means that Christ was crucified. All right? Now, what you see is four things are going to happen. These things, all the events in verse 26 happen in the 62-week period, between the 69th and the 70th week. That's not taken into account. There is a gap in there. From the end of the 173,880 days to the next 7 years, the tribulation period, there is a gap. And in that gap, four things are going to happen. First of all, in that gap, that's after the Messiah arrives in Jerusalem, till the coming of the Messiah, until he's cut off, that's immediately, just shortly after, just a few days after, four things are going to happen from that point until he comes back the second time for us, and the seventh week begins. And the first thing is that the Messiah will be cut off, that's crucified. He also tells us that the Messiah will be cut off, and after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, that's after the 69 weeks and after the 7 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off, not for himself. Now, I made mention to you, if you have a Scofield Bible, you want to look at that, it really means have nothing. The Messiah will be cut off, having nothing. He died, he didn't, when he died, they even took his clothing. He didn't have a thing. He had no home, he had no property, he had no buildings named after him, nothing. He had nothing, absolutely nothing. And the people of the prince that shall come. Now, the people of the prince that shall come will be the Romans. The prince, in this verse, is sort of identified for us in the next verse. He signs a covenant, or confirms a covenant. Now, who do you think that is? The Antichrist. And who are the people of the Antichrist? Who does the Antichrist lead? What does he become the leader of? The revised Roman Empire. All right? So the people of the prince that shall come, that is the Antichrist people, in contrast to God's people or Daniel's people in verse 24, there is this group of people, Romans. All right? The people of the prince shall come, will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, we know that that literally happened. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ shared with us or prophesied that there wouldn't be a stone left in the temple. Remember? And that actually took place. In 70 AD, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed and this temple was destroyed. Not a stone was left on top of each other. That was done by the people of the prince that shall come, the Antichrist people. And by the way, the Antichrist is in the world today. His spirit's in the world today. And those people are in the world today. His people are in the world. You remember Jesus said, "You are of your father the devil." And the devil is the energizer of the Antichrist. So the people of the prince to come refers to the Romans. The Romans come in and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. That was going to take place. That is the Romans under Titus. Now, the next thing that's going to happen is that it will destroy the city and the sanctuary. That literally took place in 70 AD. And then desolations are determined. Now, all of these take place in that gap period between the 69th and the 70th week. Now, there's a little phrase in verse 26. It's also found in verse 27, the end of it. The end of it. The end of it was referring back to what's going to happen after the 69th week and the gap is finished. We're entering into the 70th week. What's going to happen, or what happens and has happened, is that Israel, God's people, would suffer persecution right to the very end under the Gentiles. And they continue to do that today. They're still under the times of the Gentiles. They're still suffering. They're still suffering. They still are persecuted. They will be persecuted. And of course, it will be far worse in the tribulation. So the end of it, he tells us, and what's going to happen. And the end of it shall be with a flood, or like a flood. And the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now remember what he said in verse 24. There are 70 weeks determined. And in those 70 weeks, there's going to be wars, and there's going to be a war of wars that's going to come. That's the Battle of Armageddon. And that's when he comes back the second time. He comes back with on a white horse, and his army on white horses, and they destroy the Antichrist, they destroy the cast Satan into the bottomless pit, and he comes back, he rules and reigns with over the nation Israel and with the church. Now, are there any questions? I want you to be sure you understand that. Daniel 1 week, the 70th week, is the tribulation period. Now, we all know that. We have that pretty well clarified. I just wanted to be sure that you got that. Let's see, is there anything else I want to review with you very quickly? All right. All right, let's go into verse 27. I wanted to show you the differences between the various systems of theology that exist. You have the all-millennialists. The all means no. They don't believe in a millennium per se. It's sort of a symbolic millennium. And those theologians, and that would include most of the liberals, those who are liberal, the Methodists and the... And not all of them, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, the Unitarians, and they don't look into the future and see a millennial kingdom. What they believe in, that we are in that period of time now. It began after the cross, and that gray bar going across there represents the millennium to them, and they are in the millennium, and they are enjoying, because of the Spirit of God coming into the world, they are enjoying, or they can enjoy, all the blessings that God has for them. And so they really don't see a millennium at all. They don't see a future time. They don't see any tribulation period. All they see is that people are in a millennium, and things will continue to get better and better and better, and when it gets good enough, then Christ will come back a second time. And that's how they see it. I don't know how anyone in their right mind could really believe that. I mean, things are not getting better. It seems to be getting worse, don't they? Then there is a post-tribulation premillennialist, what they look at is that the rapture, and there are a number of people who agree with this. There are some who believe that the rapture will take place after the tribulation period, not before, but after the tribulation period. The church will go up, and then Christ will bring them back and will establish the millennial kingdom. They believe in a millennial kingdom. They believe that Christ is coming back before the millennial kingdom. But they do not believe that the church goes through the tribulation. So it's a post-tribulational premillennial. There are many people who believe that. Many of the reformers believe that. That's their position. And then there is the mid-trib, and there are a few of those today. And what they believe basically the same thing we do, except that the rapture takes place in the middle of the tribulation. So after 42 months, then the great tribulation, what we call the great tribulation, that's when all hell breaks out here on this earth, but the church is raptured out just before that. And that's how that one looks. The second coming then, they see the second coming just as you and I do. You with me? Anybody want to go back and jot anything down? And then you have the pre-tribulational, premillennial. The premillennial refers to Christ coming. He comes before the millennial kingdom. Post-tribulational means that the church will be raptured out, pre-tribulation means that the church will be raptured out before the tribulation. So you have a pre-tribulation, church taken out, premillennial, Christ is coming back to establish the millennium. He was back before the millennial kingdom. That's the position that we hold. That's the position that explains Daniel chapter 9. There is not another position that would take that. There's not another. I was thinking about this early this morning as I was reading over my notes. Who are the 7 weeks meant to deal with? The last 7 weeks, God is going to deal with who? With Israel. With Israel, not the church. The church is a mystery. The church has not been revealed yet. Now, between And I don't have it here, but between coming of the Holy Spirit after the cross, all right, we're in that gap period between the cross and the rapture of the church, or actually before the ascension in Acts chapter 2, and the rapture, we call that the gap or the church age. We are in the church age. That was not revealed in the Old Testament. It is a mystery. Read Ephesians. Ephesians is very clear that Paul is the one to whom the mystery was revealed, and he revealed it to the other apostles. Peter didn't understand it. Peter thought that Christ was going to come back very quickly after he ascended into heaven, after his death. The disciples thought that. They were waiting, they went back to Jerusalem and they thought everything was going to, that Christ was going to come back and establish his kingdom. They had no idea that there was going to be a gap, that there was going to be a church. Although it had begun in Acts chapter 2, they did not understand it. And it took Peter quite a while to come to grips with that. And several years later, when Paul was revealed to the Apostle Paul, and Paul revealed it to Peter. And Peter says, boy, Paul has a lot of things, they're hard to be understood. He didn't grasp it right away. He was still struggling with living under the law. He was still concerned with meats that were offered. You know, he sat down at the table, and here comes the offering of a pork. And I can't eat that. Years later, still put himself back under the law. Paul says, we're under grace. We're in a different stage. Things are different now. Are there any questions? Is that clear? I want you to see it. This explains Daniel, all right? I don't have a pointer, but if I could point out to you, if you go to the cross, when did the cross happen? After what? After the 69th week, all right? He was cut off. He came right before. He presented himself just a few days before the cross. He presented himself as the Messiah, but he was cut off. Not for himself. I mean, you could take that literally if you want to, but he had nothing. But he didn't do it for himself. He did it for Israel in this case, but for us also. And then you have that gap period. And then the 70th week is going to come. Now, all this has been determined. This is not happening by coincidence. It isn't that God looked down the corridors of time and to see what was going to happen. This happened by the plan of God. It was determined. There are no mistakes. It didn't happen by accident. If they would have accepted Christ, what would have happened? What if Israel would have accepted Christ when he came the first time? Do you know that sin would still be, you still have to account for sin? It's not taken care of. We would not be saved. There would be no church. It had to be that way. Now, Daniel is accounted for 483 years, which leaves us another 7 years to go, that 70th week. And this presents the most ideal way of looking at it. Now, the purpose of the 70th week is to prepare. I'll go back over this in just a few moments. But he's going to prepare Israel. The last 7 weeks, or 7 years, the last week, is to prepare Israel for receiving their Messiah. Let me repeat that. The last 7 weeks, or 7 years, I'm sorry, the last 7 years, the last week, the last 7 years, are determined upon the nation Israel to prepare them to receive the Messiah. Their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way he is going to do that, he is going to bring Israel to their knees. so that there is nowhere else to turn. Personal testimony on my part. When I was 21, 22, I can't remember the exact year, that I think it was 1955, so I was about 21 years old. I accepted the Lord as my Savior. But you know what? He brought me to my knees. I mean, He took everything out from under me. I had nowhere else to turn. I had no hope. I had no reason to live. I just didn't care about anything. And I was beside myself. Now, Israel, God's going to do the same thing to Israel. God's going to bring them where they have nowhere to turn. And all they see is that ultimately they're going to be annihilated. I mean, they're surrounded by the Gentiles and are coming in on them. And the only place they can look for help is above. And so they turn back to God and they recognize Him, and the blindness is taken off, and they receive Jesus Christ. They recognize Christ, the one that the nation has crucified. They recognize that He was their Messiah. And the promises that He has given is He's going to come back and He's going to deliver them. And when they do that, the veil is removed, and then Christ will come back and deliver them. That happens. Now, this 70th year, this last 7 years, this 1 week that we're determined, this 7 years, is for that purpose, to get them prepared for Israel. It is during that time that the gospel will go throughout all the world, by the way. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached and proclaimed in all the world for a witness unto the nations, and then shall the end come. Now Jesus said that, or John says that in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, and also in verse 14. So you can go back there and look at that. I'm not going to take the time to do that this morning. God will also use the tribulation period to pour out His judgment upon unbelieving man and nations, and will use it for the purpose of bringing many Jews to salvation. That is during that period of time. I mean, there's going to be a multitude of people saved in the millennial kingdom, out of every tribe and nation and tongue. All right. Now the He in verse 27, is the prince that shall come. And the prince that shall come is not Antiochus. Some people believe that it's Antiochus. It's not Antiochus Epiphanes. It refers to the Antichrist. And we know that because he is the one who will sign the covenant. He is the one who will confirm the covenant, if you please, in verse 27. He is the little horn of chapter 7. We discussed that when we were in chapter 7. He is the willful king. We'll see this in chapter 11. He is the man of sin, which we've already studied in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he is the beast of Revelation chapter 13. All those describe this man, this Antichrist. And he is going to come. He is a false Christ. He confirms the covenant. Israel thinks that he is the Messiah. Verse 27 contains four important statements. The first statement is that he will confirm the covenant. That's the Antichrist. I wondered about that. Now, you ever wonder under what covenant he's going to confirm? What peace treaty? Yeah, it's been on, you know, where it was since 1948. And he is going to confirm that covenant, but I believe there are going to be some changes in that covenant. I think in that covenant, the nations will agree that they will not attack Israel, that Israel will be disarmed. I think that the nations, and particularly the strong nations such as the United States, will have their defense budgets cut. Isn't that interesting? I was thinking about that this week. Drastic cuts in defense. You see, that covenant isn't working today, is it? I mean, it allowed Israel to go back in the land and have their own land, and it just hasn't worked. Now the Antichrist comes along and says, I'll make it work, and here's what we're going to do. There's a couple of interesting things in that. Let me see if I can jump ahead for you just a little bit. Before we get to that, my time is up. I can't get to it anyhow. I'm sorry about that. We'll pick it up next week. But it's interesting that it really seems to indicate to me that it's the leaders who will be working out all the agreements, the leaders of the nations. This is not just a one-man thing. This is the leaders of the nations coming together under the Antichrist. And, of course, he will become the one who is going to bring peace to the world. So we'll look at that next week. Father, we thank you again for your loving kindness and your grace. We thank you for the promises that you've given us. We thank you for the truth that you revealed concerning the nation Israel. Father, we thank you for the gap of time. And Lord, we look forward to the time when that gap is completed and that 70th week will begin, so that you can usher in your kingdom. So we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.